So, the topic of this seminar is Mathura meets Vrindavan. It's based on this book, which is a book based on the lectures of Sri Srimad Gauravinda Swami, called Mathura meets Vrindavan. And before I start with anything, I have a question. Please raise your hand. How many devotees here have a copy of this book? Two, three, four. Okay, because we'd like to study this and go deep into it, and not just repeat the subject matters into it, but go in the direction where some of the street signs are pointed in this book. So to do that more nicely, I'm just going to request everyone to do some reading assignments, if we can, in the evening, and have some discussions every day. So we'll talk about that more at the end. Before we begin, we'd like to offer some Mangalacharna prayers. Gauravinda Maharaj instructed me before we try to speak on Bhagavatam, we should recite these prayers every day.
Narayanam namaskrityam naram shaiva narottamam devim sarasvatim vyasam tato jayam udirayet vede ramayane shaiva purane bharate tata adavande cha madye cha hari sarvatra giyate Mukam karodi vachalam bangum langahite girim Yatkripa tamaham bande shri gurum dinataranam Paramananda madhavam. Paramananda he madhava Pajunga luchi makaranda Se makaranda panakori Anande bolo hari hari Harinka name vanda vela Parikori be chakadola Se chakadolanka paraye Manamo rahu nirantare Manamo nirantare rahu Ha Krishna boli jiva jao Ha Krishna boli jao jiva Mote udara rada dava Mote udara rada dava Mote udara rada dava Dharma projita kaitavo te paramo nirmatsranam satam Vedyam vastava matra vastu shivadam dhapatrayon mulanam Srimad bhagavate mahamune kute kim vaparayishvara Sadyo hidyavarudyate chakritibhishu shubhistakshanat Nigamako pataro galitam phalam sukamukaram itragavasam hutam Pivata bhagavatam rasamalayam muhuraho rasika bhuvibhavuka Anarato pasamam sakshad bhakti yogam adhoksaje Lokasya janato vidvam chakre satvata samhitam Yashyam vaishuyamanayam krishne paramapuruse Bhaktir utpadyate pumsa shoka moha bhayapaha Srimad bhagavatam paranam amalam yad vaishnavanam priyam Yasmin paramahamsam ekam amalam jnanam varam giyate Tatra jnana vairagya bhakti sahitam naiskarmyam aviskritam Tachchinvam supaten vicharna padho bhaktya vumuchin naraha Arto yam brahma sutranam bharatarta vinirnayaha Gayatri vashirupo so vedharta paribhrimitaha Sarva vedetihasanam saram saram samudritam Sarva vedanta saram hi shrimad bhagavatam ishire Tadrasam hita tripta shanyan yatra sadvachi kuchit Krishna Bhakti Rasa Swarup Shri Bhagavata Tate Veda Shastra Hoite Paramamatva Chariveda Upanishade Jata Kichu Hoya Tara Arta Lanavyasa Kovila Sanchaya Jesu Tveje Vuk Vishaya Vachana Bhagavati Sevuk Sloka Nivandana Jivera Nistara Lagi Sutra Koilo Vyasa Mayavari Vashishunile Hoi Sarvanasa Jao Bhagavata Pada Vaishnavira Stane Kanda Shrekara Chaitanya Charane Bhagavata Jainamane Sejavana Sama Tarasashta Achi Janme Janme Prabhu Jama Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Bolo Hare Krishna Hare Krishna Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya
So, I'm feeling a little shy today to speak in front of Vishuddhisattva Prabhu. He's qualified to sit on our head in so many different ways, aside from being disciple Srila Prabhupada and very learned and advanced devotee, so please forgive me, Prabhu. So we can say just a few basic things in general about Mathura meets Vrindavan. In this very short course, we're going to try to cover just the preface, the introduction, and chapter one. To even that subject matter is to go into very, very deeply would require much, much longer time than we have. This book is a compilation of lectures that Gaura Govinda Maharaj gave between the years mostly 1992 and 1994. I was personally present, I think, for every one of these lectures except for one of them. And this is something we compiled into a book. And we tried to keep a sense of the lectures to keep Maharaj's flavor of language, but at the same time we wanted to make it into a book with a beginning, middle, and an end, and a consistent subject matter. And to do that you have to edit things, because when a person is speaking they repeat things sometimes, and for a reader to have something repeated over and over again is very intolerable. So we cut some of those things out and we rearranged some chapters, but we pretty much managed to keep things as it is. The subject matter of this book is Braj Leela. There's two parts to the book. The first part of the book is called Vrindavan Sambhog. And it speaks about, in the beginning, about Krishna's appearance, which is chapter one. We'll be speaking about the day after tomorrow. And it goes through some of the different pastimes in Braj, such as Krishna stealing the butter, and some different pastimes Krishna has with the gopis and Radharani. And the focus, really, of the first part of the book is to speak about the devotees of Braj and what is the quality of their love and who are the topmost devotees and how there's different rasas and how the climax, the apex of all these rasas is the Madhurja Ras of the gopis. And something is spoken about the different types of gopis, and something is spoken about the different moods of the gopis. Snehaman, Panaya Rag, Anurag Bhav, Mahabhav, Ruda Mahabhav, Adi Ruda Mahabhav, Modanaki Mahabhav, and finally Modanaki Mahabhav. And that finishes the first part of the book, the Vrindavan Sambhog. Then the second part of the book begins, which the second part is described as Mathura Viraha, meaning separation and Mathura. It begins with Akura taking Krishna away from Vrindavan and taking him to Mathura, and then later we hear in Dwarka. And the subject matter, the title of the book is Mathura Meets Vrindavan. This phrase is coined by Gaura Govinda Maharaj as describing what happened when Krishna sent Uddhava to Braj with a message of love. And Uddhava met with Mother Yashoda and Nanda Maharaj, and that's described in one chapter in this book, and what happened when Uddhava came there. And Uddhava, he's a Gyani Bhakta, he's a Bhakta, but his Bhakti is mixed with some Gyan. He's a disciple of Brihaspati. He heard Srimad Bhagavatam from Brihaspati. We understand that from Skanda Purana. And although he's a devotee of Krishna, his conception of Krishna is mixed with some Aishvarya, some grandeur, and some Gyan, some awe and reverence, you can say. So when he came to Braj and he found Nanda Maharaj and Mother Yashoda in a condition of separation from Krishna, and they were lamenting like anything, he began to preach to them like he would preach to anyone else. And he tried to tell them, you shouldn't lament. Don't you know Krishna is still with you? Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He's not really your son. So he tried to console them with some gyan. But he was very amazed to find that this gyan, which helped everyone else, had no effect on Nanda Maharaj and Mother Yashoda. Rather, they just became very annoyed with it and further upset. What do you mean? What are you trying to tell us that Krishna, our Krishna, is the Supreme Personality of Godhead? He's not God. He's sucking from the breast of Yashoda. Sometimes he tells lies. Sometimes he's stealing makkhan. Like that, how can you say he's the Supreme Lord? And then from there, Uddhava went to meet the gopis in Radharani. And there's, I believe, three chapters just speaking about the Brahmaragit, or Radharani's mad talks with a bumblebee. The point of all this is that Mathura meets Vrindavan. Uddhava is coming from a conception of Mathura, of worshipping Krishna as God, in awe and reverence. And he's coming and he's meeting Vrindavan. Uddhava is coming to the school of Vrindavan. And he's learning about what is real love for Krishna from Nanda Maharaj and Mother Yashoda, and then from the gopis. And then the 16th chapter in the book speaks about Radharani's feelings of separation and how she was in a dying condition. And then the 17th chapter of the book, a very interesting chapter, the title is Krishna Never Leaves Vrindavan. And it gives a conclusion to the book, I think, in an explanation how it is that Krishna never leaves Vrindavan. We always hear that Vrindavana Paritya Parikam Nagachchati. Krishna never takes one step outside of Vrindavan. But how is that? Because the Bhagavatam describes very clearly that Akura came and took Krishna away. And Krishna went to Mathura and Krishna went to Dwarka. So how do we understand that? Gaura Govinda Maharaj gives a very wonderful explanation based on Rupa Goswami's Lalita Madhava. So we won't go into all those subjects, but we should understand something about the nature of the book. So this book is based upon Srila Prabhupada's translation and purport to Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th Canto, Chapter 3, Text 31. And Gaura Govinda Maharaj gave a series of lectures on this purport from the 19th to the 20th of June, 1994, in Atlanta, Georgia. And we happened to be present during those lectures. It was a very special thing. He was mostly he spoke about one sentence in Srila Prabhupada's purport, and he elaborated on that in so many different ways. And we felt that this particular purport and verse, this entire book is based upon. So we'll elaborate a little bit about that, and how that comes out in the preface and the introduction, something today. So I'll read a little something from this verse and purport. Vishvam yare tat svatano nishante Yatavakasam purusha paro bhavan Vibharti soyam mama garbha gobud Aho nilokasya vidambanam hita. This is Devaki speaking to Vasudev Krishna after Krishna appeared in the prison of Kamsa. Devaki, she spoke this verse to him. She said, at the time of devastation, the entire cosmos containing all created moving and non-moving entities enters your transcendental body and is held there without difficulty. But now, this transcendental form has taken birth from my womb. People will not be able to believe this, and I shall become an object of ridicule. Srila Prabhupada writes in his purport. As explained in Chaitanya Charitamrita, loving service to the personality of Godhead is of two different kinds, Aishvarya Purna, full of opulence, and Aishvarya Sitila, without opulence. Real love of Godhead begins with Aishvarya Sitila, simply on the basis of pure love. So from this one paragraph, this whole book is based upon. This book describes what is Aishvarya Purna, what is Aishvarya Sitila. What are the natures of these two different types of love? So Prabhupada, I'll jump ahead a little bit in the purport. Prabhupada speaks about Shyam Sundar Muralidhar with a flute swaying in his two hands. He says, this is the form available to the inhabitants of Vrindavan who are all in love with the Supreme Personality of Godhead as Shyama Sundar, not as Lord Vishnu, Narayan, who is worshipped in Vaikuntha, where the devotees admire his opulence. Although Devaki is not on the Vrindavan platform, she is near the Vrindavan platform. On the Vrindavan platform, the mother of Krishna is Mother Yashoda. And on the Mathura and Dwarka platform, the mother of Krishna is Devaki. In Mathura and Dwarka, the love for the Lord is mixed with appreciation of His opulence. But in Vrindavan, the opulence of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is not exhibited. Prabhupada goes on a little later in the purport. He says, if Bhakti, Bhagavan, and Bhakta do not belong to the material world. And this is a sentence that Gorgha Vinamarsh read every day, and he just simply elaborated mainly upon this one sentence. Bhakti, Bhagavan, and Bhakta do not belong to the material world. Prabhupada says, this is confirmed in Bhagavad Gita 14:26, Mam chayo vyabhicharina, bhakti yogena sevate sagunan samatityaitan, brahma bhuyaya kolpate. Quote, one who engages in the spiritual activities of unalloyed devotional service immediately transcends the modes of material nature and is elevated to the spiritual platform. From the very beginning of one's transactions in bhakti, one is situated on the transcendental platform. Vasudeva and Devaki, therefore, being situated in a completely pure devotional state, are beyond this material world and are not subject to material fear. In the transcendental world, however, because of pure devotion, there is a similar conception of fear, which is due to intense love. So Devaki, she is expressing some fear in this verse and purport. But that fear is not like the type of fear in this material world. The Bhagavatam, first canto, describes the results of hearing Bhagavatam, the external results, is shoka moha bhayapaha. Let all fear, lamentation, and illusion go away. There's no question for Devaki to have that. But because she's on the platform of pure love, she's experiencing this in terms of rasa. The preface to this was something that Maharaj spoke about Srila Prabhupada's books. And we found this a very, very important subject matter. Before we put it as a completely separate preface, the title of the preface is that everything is in Srila Prabhupada's books. And we've heard this so many times. And it's said that books are the basis. We have these famous statements with the books of the basis, purity is the force, preaching is the essence, and utility is the principle. It's interesting, if you look through the folio to find out where these things are from, they were never given by Srila Prabhupada altogether. They actually came from a Chinese fortune cookie, honestly. A Chinese fortune cookie. One devotee, someone gave him a fortune cookie or something, he broke it open and he found these statements in there. I think all of them except for maybe one, some maybe books of the basis wasn't there. And Srila Prabhupada, he appreciated that something. But from that, the devotees have expanded the thing. And they're nice points, and we can say they're something of the the axioms of our Krishna conscious movement. But one point is certainly there that Prabhupada emphasized again and again, and that is that books are the basis. And those books in our society, Srila Prabhupada's books are the basis for everything. Prabhupada commented, and you've heard so many times, that my books will be the law books for the next 10,000 years. Prabhupada's books are the law books for our ISKCON society. And they're the reference, even whether someone likes that fact or doesn't like that fact. If you want to convince the devotees in the Krishna conscious movement, you should base your katha, your points, upon Srila Prabhupada's books. If we can't show how they're substantiated in Srila Prabhupada's books, then people, they're not going to accept what you have to say. So Gorgavinda Maharaj, he began speaking about this subject, about how bhakti, bhakti, and Bhagavan are not of this material world, by speaking something about the nature of Srila Prabhupada's books. And that's found in the preface of Mathura Meets Vrindavan. Maharaj said, Chaitanya Charitamrita states that Srimad Bhagavatam is unlimited. Krishna Tulya Bhagavata Vibhu Sarvashra Pati Shloki Pati Akshari Nanartakoi. Maharaj used to quote this verse many, many times. And he would comment on this verse that Krishna Tulya Bhagavata. Tulya means the same. The Krishna and the Bhagavat, they're Tulya. They're non-different. Vibhu, they're both Vibhu, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And Ashray, just as we take shelter of Krishna, we also take shelter of Srimad Bhagavatam. How is that? Prati Shloki Prati Akshari Nanartakoi. Just as Krishna is unlimited, you can't find a limit to Krishna. So Srimad Bhagavatam is also unlimited. In Prati Shloki, in every verse, indeed in Prati Akshari, in each and every syllable of Srimad Bhagavatam, there's unlimited meaning. So Maharaj spoke, he said, the Srimad Bhagavatam is as good as Krishna. It is not different from Krishna. This is described by Thakur Vrindavan Das in Chaitanya Bhagavat. Prema Maya Bhagavata Shri Krishna Ra Anga Tahate Kahina Jata Gopya Krishna Ranga. Prema Maya Bhagavata. This Srimad Bhagavatam is simply made out of Krishna Prema. Prema Maya Bhagavata, Sri Krishna Anga. It's directly a limb of Krishna. Tahaite kahena yata gopya Krishna Ranga. Because it describes Krishna's very confidential pastimes. So Maharaj described how Anantadev, who stays in Patal, carries the material universe on one of his hoods like a mustard seed. With his unlimited mouths, Anantadev has been continuously speaking Bhagavatam and is not yet finished. The four Kumaras are there hearing Srimad Bhagavatam from Anantadev. Therefore, Srimad Bhagavatam is Ananta, unlimited, like an unlimited ocean. If you dive deeper to the deepest region of the ocean, you can collect invaluable gems. So Maharaj, he spoke this thing. I don't like to read so much. I find reading is a little difficult sometimes for the mind to follow. I would prefer to put things in my own words and speak about what he's saying here. Maharaj, he said, now he used this analogy many times. He said that one of the synonyms for the ocean is Ratnakara, or that place where the very valuable gems are kept. And he said that if you want to get these gems in the ocean, you have to dive very, very deep to get them. If you only stay on the top of the surface of the ocean, then all you'll collect is fish. He said, so we have to dive very, very deep to get these things. He said, so Prabhupada said that everything is in my books. But my Guru Maharaj said, that this thing is in a seed form. And he's given everything, but he's given it as a hint. And to understand that thing, we have to dive very, very deep to understand that. Sometimes he would quote a verse from Chaitanya Charitamrita, which is spoken by Lord Shiva. And Shivji, he says, Aham Vedmi, Shukovedi, Vyasavedi Navediva. Shivji says that, Aham Vedmi, I understand Srimad Bhagavatam. Vyasavedi, Sukavedi, Sukadeva Goswami, he also understands Srimad Bhagavatam. You may have heard the story Gurgavinda Maharaj used to tell many times about how Shivji was speaking Srimad Bhagavatam to Parvati Devi in Bhubaneswar. I won't get into this elaborately, but just very briefly. And present there was one parrot who was listening. And that parrot was Sukadeva Goswami. So Shivji is saying that I understand Srimad Bhagavatam. And Sukadeva Goswami, he understands, I know, because he heard from me. But Vyasa Vedi Navedi Va. Whether Vyas understands or doesn't understand, I can't really say. Now there's different things we can say about that. Some acharyas have commented that this indicates that Srimad Bhagavatam is such a confidential thing that even whether or not Vyasadeva understands it is a question. But certainly Sukadeva Goswami understands it, because Sukadeva Goswami is a parrot of Srimati Radharani. Jiva Goswami describes this in Gopal Champu, that the words Sri Suku Vacha, beginning in the Srimad Bhagavatam, indicate that Suk, that parrot, who's the parrot of Sri. Sri means Sarva Lakshmi Mayi Radha. The parrot of Radharani spoke, or Sukadeva Goswami spoke, because Sukadeva Goswami was Radharani's parrot, and she was always speaking Krishna Katha to that parrot and getting that parrot to repeat Hari Katha to her. So that same parrot later entered into the womb of Vyasadeva's wife and became took birth of Sukadeva Goswami and spoke Srimad Bhagavatam. So he's such a qualified person. He's the parrot of Srimati Radharani, and therefore Sukadeva Goswami can understand Srimad Bhagavatam. But Vyasa Vedi Navedi Va, whether Vyas can understand or not, he can't really say. How do we understand Srimad Bhagavatam? Shivji goes on to explain, Bhaktya Bhagavatam Grayam, Na Buddhiya, Na Chatikaya. Srimad Bhagavatam is none different from Krishna. Krishna and Sri Anga. How do we understand Krishna? You can't understand Krishna by dint of your intelligence, by dint of your knowledge. Krishna says in the Gita, Bhaktya Mama Bhajanati, Yavanyas Chasmi Tatvataha. The only way to understand me is through bhakti. So the only way to understand Srimad Bhagavatam, which is none different from Krishna, is through bhakti. It's not possible to understand it in any other way. And Shivji says, Bhaktya Bhagavatam Grayam, na buddhiya, not by dint of your intelligence. We can give a very simple analogy, which I think all of you could easily appreciate. I think all or most of you have distributed Srila Prabhupada's books at one time or another. Certainly we all have some appreciation for the very important service. If we could imagine going on the street with a copy of Srimad Bhagavatam and we find some drunken person who's laying in a stupor, unconscious on the street, and you walked over to him and you shook him, said, "Hey man, wake up, I got a book for you. Here, read this." Now maybe that drunken person, maybe you could wake him up. And if you woke him up and he managed to open his eyes, just perhaps he might even be able to read something from the book. Now how much will he understand from Srimad Bhagavatam? He may understand something. He understands English. He can read something. But how much will he understand of this book? Now if you go to another person, let's say we go to a student, an 18-year-old student in high school, and you give the same book to him, and you ask him what he thinks. Now that student, he's sitting, he's surrounded by very beautiful young girls who are all very scantily dressed, and his mind is completely disturbed, and he's taking drugs and different things. He can read the book. He'll no doubt understand something more than that drunken person. But how much will he understand? Then you may go to a professor in the university who's teaching Indology. And he's a Sanskrit professor. He knows more Sanskrit than all of us here in the room put together. And he's been teaching Srimad Bhagavatam for 30 years. But he likes to drink sometimes, and he's a meat eater and a dry professor, dry scholar. How much will he understand the Srimad Bhagavatam? And then if you go to a new bhakta, in the Krishna Balaram Mandir, who's only been in the ISKCON movement for 6 months, and you speak to him about Srimad Bhagavatam, you'll find that he understands Srimad Bhagavatam better than that professor. But then what to speak if we go to someone like Radha Govinda Maharaj, who's been studying Srimad Bhagavatam his whole life, and is a sannyasi, a Naishtika Brahmachari. How much does he understand Srimad Bhagavatam? Therefore, Srup Damodar Goswami, he's enjoined that Jaho Bhagavata Pada Vaishnavarastani Ekanta Ashraya Kori Chaitanya Charani. Guru Govinda Maharaj used to quote this verse many times as being very, very important verse to help us understand the method of studying Srimad Bhagavatam. That Jaho Bhagavata Pada Vaishnavarastani If we want to understand Srimad Bhagavatam, we have to hear from the Bhakta Bhagavat. Dui Bhagavat. There's two Bhagavats. There's the Grantha Bhagavat. And there's the Bhakta Bhagavat, who's Krishna Kripa Patra, who's the embodiment of Krishna's mercy. And Supdamanar Goswami says, if you want to understand Srimad Bhagavatam, you have to approach the Bhakta Bhagavat. And he says, Ekanta Ashraya Kodi Chaitanya Charani. Maharaj used to quote this very many times. And he would raise a question. He'd say, what is the necessity, Supdamanar Goswami is saying here, that you should take one pointed shelter of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? He said, what is the necessity of taking shelter of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to understand Srimad Bhagavatam? What is the necessity? And his answer was, practically we saw nobody could ever get the answer correct. So many people would try. The answer he gave was that because the Srimad Bhagavatam is made of Krishna prema, the only way we can approach Srimad Bhagavatam is if we have prema. Prema Mayi Bhagavata. Sri Krishna Anga. This Srimad Bhagavatam is full of Krishna prema. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is prema purushottam. He's prema pradatta. Krishna prema pradayate. He's freely giving Krishna prema. So if we want to understand Srimad Bhagavatam, we have to go through Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Thakur Bhaktivinoda, he has given a very wonderful explanation about the Srimad Bhagavatam. He said that in his own life, he said, I grew up hearing Srimad Bhagavatam. The Bhagavatam was a literature discussed around me, but I never took it very seriously. I thought it was just some book of some old mythology or something of the Hindus. And I thought what was really high class was the Bible and Thoreau and Emerson and Western philosophy like that. He said, it wasn't until I heard the philosophy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and I read Chaitanya Charitamrita that I could appreciate Srimad Bhagavatam. Practically, Bhaktivinoda Thakur made this point, you can't appreciate Srimad Bhagavatam except for the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. People don't understand Srimad Bhagavatam except by the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So, Bhakti Bhagavatam Grayam, na buddhiya, not by dint of your intelligence, can you understand? And he says, na chatikaya. This is a little controversial thing. I'm not going to avoid the controversy this time. We'll be very direct about it. Gorgavinda Maharaj, when he would speak about this thing, I thought sadly he was very clever how he spoke about it. He would be very roundabout how he would speak on this thing. He would say that Nachatikaya means that you can't understand Srimad Bhagavatam to the tikas, to the commentaries. And he would say there are many commentaries in Srimad Bhagavatam. Sridhar Swami has written a commentary. It's considered to be the most important commentary in our Gaudiya Vaishnava community. And Sanatana Goswami, he's written a Brihad Vaishnava Toshini, his commentary on Srimad Bhagavatam. Jiva Goswami has given some commentary. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati. And he would say, and my spiritual master, Sri Srimad Srila Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, he's also given some commentary. So Nachatikaya, you can't understand Srimad Bhagavatam just by taking help of the commentaries. And he didn't come out and directly say that, but that also includes with Srila Prabhupada's books. That's a very confidential thing and a very controversial thing. I wouldn't normally speak this thing in a public class in the temple because it is a confidential thing. It's confidential in the sense that although it's very common sense, and we'll read so many different pramanas and things where Srila Prabhupada himself says this, it's confidential in the sense that not everyone will be able to understand it. And if you hit them on the head with it, it may actually discourage them. And we shouldn't discourage them. If someone feels like they only have faith in Srila Prabhupada, no, I can read Prabhupada's books, fine. Let them do that. But the fact is, if we want to go very deep in it, something more is required. I'll read some more from the preface here. He says that Prabhupada's purports need explanation. The Bhaktivedanta purports are unique. Vaishnava philosophy is not easy to describe. It is a very subtle and most sublime philosophy. It is a very difficult philosophy. Don't think it's a cheap thing. Don't think the Gaudiya Vaishnava philosophy is a cheap, easy thing. In our ISKCON society, we speak a very basic, simple level of Krishna consciousness. That may not be a very palatable truth for a lot of people, but it's a simple, obvious fact. And it's a very good fact, because we're preaching to new people all over the world. That was Srila Prabhupada's desire. Prabhupada wanted us to speak to common people and to save them. So we're not going to go and speak to them about Bhakti Sandarbha, Paramatma Sandarbha, and this thing and that thing, and very high subject matters. We're going to speak simple things. And we see the devotees in the Krishna conscious movement, they generally emphasize things like reincarnation, and you're not your body, and vegetarianism, and very simple things, which in some ways, very frankly, are not even really Gaudiya Vaishnava philosophy. You could say it's Hindu philosophy. It's very, very basic philosophy. But to understand who is Krishna, and what is Swayamrup, what is Krishna's expansions, and what is the purposes when Krishna's coming, what is rasa, these things are very, very deep subject matters. These are Gaudiya Vaishnava subject matters. These are very difficult subject matter to understand. And it's not something which can be understood immediately. It's not something which can be understood nabudiya by our intelligence or just by reading a book. It takes some time. It requires some mercy, requires some practice, it requires some bhajan to understand these subject matters. So Maharaj says, it's a very subtle and most sublime philosophy. It is a very difficult philosophy. Prabhupada explained it in a very nice, easy language. Srila Prabhupada is especially empowered. A Shaktivesh avatar sent by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Otherwise, no one can give such a thing as he has done. Now, I see so much purport in what Maharaj is saying here. We'd like to extrapolate on that a little bit. First of all, in this one sentence, he says, Prabhupada explained it in a very nice, easy language. Part of my service as an individual, and it's not everyone's service, we all have different services, and we should perform the service given to us and not someone else's service. But my particular service, which was given to me by my guru, was that I should read different literatures, and we should compile things, and we should print them for the pleasure of the Vaishnavas. That's not necessary for everyone else. If we simply read Bhagavad Gita, that's sufficient, or Srimad Bhagavatam. But in the course of doing that, we see different commentaries sometimes on Srimad Bhagavatam and in different literatures. And we're also, of course, reading Srila Prabhupada's books. And naturally, we sometimes compare the two. And we look at how other people are speaking about Chaitanya Charitamrita and how Srila Prabhupada did, how Prabhupada spoke about the Bhagavatam, and how Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur did. And it's very interesting. You can see that Srila Prabhupada kept things in a very, very simple way. In fact, I would go so far as to say that it's amazing. It's completely amazing how simple Srila Prabhupada kept things. Anyone else is going to want to flex their muscles and show, hey, I know this far out thing, I know this thing, and this thing means this. Srila Prabhupada knew those things. If you read in his purports, you can see sometimes he's giving a hint. He's pointing to something that Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says, and maybe elaborates on in many, many pages, like Bhakti, Bhakta, and Bhagavan are not of this material world. And Vishwanath gives a very long explanation about that same subject. But Prabhupada says it in one sentence. This is like an essence of something. This is like a sutra. And in a sutra, it's like Vedanta Sutra. You may have one syllable, two or three syllables. And within those two or three syllables, there may be so much meaning. Prati shloki prati rakshananartha koi. In each and every syllable, the Bhagavatam is unlimited meaning. Because the Bhagavatam is full of Krishna prema. So Srila Prabhupada is also a premi bhakta. And when such a personality writes, there's great depth to their writing. To understand what they're writing, understand what they're saying, you have to completely understand it. You have to be on the same platform they're on. If you're not on the same platform they're on, you can't understand it completely. You might understand something, but how can you understand it completely? And if you say, if you try to say, no, I understand it completely, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in Chaitanya Bhagavat, he's given the same instruction twice, the exact same word-for-word verse. Bhagavata bujihena Jara ache gyana sehina janai bhaga vatera pramana. He says that one who says, I understand Srimad Bhagavatam, he doesn't understand Srimad Bhagavatam. Srimad Bhagavatam is such a literature, it's completely unlimited. So how can we understand it? How can we understand Srila Prabhupada's books? I would offer, if someone says, if someone gets angry at this and says, no, Prabhupada's books are very easy to understand, anyone can read them, anyone can understand. If you're saying that, then you're saying in essence that Srila Prabhupada is a mundane person. He's not a mundane person. And one of the symptoms of his transcendental quality is that his books, his writings are unlimited. And to understand them, you have to have praying. Or you have to hear from someone who is on that level. If you read what Srila Prabhupada has written, if you read the purports of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati also, the devotees have compiled this nice Chaitanya Bhagavat with Srila Bhaktisiddhanta's purports. There are so many things in Chaitanya Bhagavat, and there are other commentaries we've seen in Chaitanya Bhagavat where the commentators say things which would just completely blow your mind. Very, very deep, profound things. If you read Srila Bhaktisiddhanta's purports, you can see sometimes he knows these things. And sometimes he gives them a little hint, but he doesn't come out directly. Because, as my Guru Maharaj is saying here, as Gorgananda was just saying, Srila Prabhupada is especially empowered, a Shaktivesh avatar sent by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He had a specific purpose in coming. And his purpose was not to surpass all the Goswamis, the six Goswamis and Jiva Goswami and the thousands of verses that he'd written and all the works of Rupa Goswami. It wasn't to replace their books. Srila Prabhupada never said that now that you have my books, you don't need the books of Sanatana Goswami, you don't need Brihad Bhagavatam, you don't need Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Ujjwala Nilamani. Srila Prabhupada never said that. In fact, if you read in Srila Prabhupada's books, Prabhupada says over and over and over again, for more information on this, you should read Brihad Bhagavatamrita, you should read the commentaries on the 10th canto, you should read the commentaries on Vedanta Sutra. Srila Prabhupada was especially empowered to do a certain specific thing. And one of the symptoms of his empowerment is that he was so one-pointed. And we also see this in his personal dealings with the devotees. Practically, Srila Prabhupada gave everyone practically the same kind of thing. Maybe sometimes a few devotees, he would speak to them privately and give them some little deeper thing. But generally, Srila Prabhupada gave a very simple, basic, standard thing for everyone. And who can do like that? Because Srila Prabhupada knew that if I tell someone some more rustic thing, tell him all, speak to you about some Madhurja Ras or some very high topics, and if that person, maybe he might have spoken to some few individuals, but if he did, he spoke that very privately, and those persons didn't repeat that. They didn't go around and brag that Srila Prabhupada taught me like this. Because if Prabhupada openly would have done that, then everyone else would have felt like, hey, I also want that. And Prabhupada saw that the master devotees, very frankly, weren't qualified for that. We were coming from a certain type of background. And that's okay. This Krishna conscious movement, there's nothing lacking in it. Sometimes devotees, they try to say, oh, you know, ISKCON is not very good. They only have ABC. Gorgananda Maharaj personally told me in 1993 in New York, he said, there's three things which very much concern me. And these three things also have a lot to do with this book, Mathura Meets Vrindavan. He said, the first thing is, I feel very concerned to see devotees leaving ISKCON. I feel very unhappy to see the preachers falling down and going away. And Srila Prabhupada personally instructed him that he should go and he should preach to the preachers. He said, I want to do that. I want to help the preachers. Prabhupada told me this. He said, the second thing is that I want to show that everything is in Srila Prabhupada's books. And these people who try to say that Prabhupada only taught ABC, I want to make them mum. Mum. I want to shut them up. I want to make them so they can't say anything more. So this is the purpose of this seminar. I would like, if you like the subject matters in this seminar, you should also repeat these things. We should try to learn how everything is in Prabhupada's books and try to show that everything is in there. And then for people who try to come and say that all ISKCON is only teaching ABC, Prabhupada's books only have ABC, we should become so expert that we can shut them up. Maharaj used to say that we should work to uphold the prestige of Srila Prabhupada's society. And the way to do that is to have nice Vaishnava dealings, and to speak nice Hari Katha. So this is a very important thing. And the third thing he says is that I want to show that everything is in Prabhupada's society. And that people don't have to go outside somewhere else for so-called higher teachings. So everything is in Srila Prabhupada's books. Everything is in this society. But how can we understand that? I can tell you very frankly, if you go to some of the followers of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati in the Gaudiya Math, and you read some of the things they've written, or you read some of the things from some of the Radhakund Babaji's, you'll read some very, very deep, profound things. With things that we're not normally speaking in ISKCON. And there are things they're quoting Jiva Goswami and our different acharyas are not bad things. So how can we say that everything is in this society? Everything is here in an essence. Everything is here, we have the holy name. Sometimes devotees, they think, oh, I didn't get everything from my Gurudev. All that I got was the holy name. I only got Hari Nama initiation. I didn't get second initiation. I didn't get sannyas. They haven't made me a guru yet. I don't have everything. What are they thinking? Such a foolish thing. Hari Nama, Hari Nama, Hari Nama Eva Kevalam. How many times we repeat this verse? The holy name is everything. What is it? Mantratas, tantratas, chidram. Desha kalaharvastutaha. There's always going to be some chidra no matter where you go. If you go to the Gaudiya Math temples, you'll find some fault is also there. There's faults in ISKCON. We know all of the bad stories about the Gurukula. Please don't repeat any more to me. I'm tired of hearing it. If you go to the Gaudiya Math, you'll find also some fault is there. If you go to Radhakund, you'll also find faults are there. But sarvam karoti nishchidram anusankirtanam tava. The eighth canto of the Bhagavatam says that wherever there's a chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra, there's no fault. And if you think there's some fault, there's something wrong with you. There's nothing wrong with this society. There's nothing wrong with the style of preaching of the devotees in this society who are preaching in the way that Srila Prabhupada told them to preach. Emphasizing that you're not your body and that we should not eat meat and very simple things. Because Srila Prabhupada was specifically empowered to deal with a certain class of people. If you look, comparatively speaking, I'm not suggesting you do, but if someone were to look comparatively and see the preaching of some of Srila Prabhupada's godbrothers, some of it's very high-tech. And they spoke very high things. More so, seemingly, than what Srila Prabhupada may have emphasized. But this is a symptom of Srila Prabhupada's nature as a Shakti Vesha avatar. Is that he knew exactly what was needed to be spoken. And he came and gave exactly the right medicine. He didn't go and start speaking postgraduate topics to kindergarten students. He went and gave them the very basic principles. And then later on, we're so foolish, we think, just like a person, maybe you're in first grade class, and your teacher, maybe he's a PhD. But that teacher in first grade is telling you, you can't take a bigger number from a smaller number. Because you can't understand that. Then later on in second or third grade, your teacher tells you about negative numbers. And that third grade teacher, you might think, oh, he's much more advanced than my first grade teacher. But your first grade teacher might have been a PhD. Whereas your third grade teacher only had a bachelor's degree. But the professor, he knows exactly what you needed to hear. Don't try to judge him just by what he was speaking. We have to be very, very careful. We should see Srila Prabhupada through Phalina Parichate, by the work that he's done. We can see that he fulfilled Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's prophecy. Yes. Such a wonderful thing. And sometimes we see devotees criticizing, causes me so much pain, devotees in our ISKCON movement, for being simple and preaching in the exact way that Srila Prabhupada told them to preach. Sripad Maharaj is such an example. Prabhupada told him to speak about science. And he was always speaking that. He wasn't speaking very high-tech things in the 10th canto or this or that. And sometimes devotees might complain, oh, I don't like hearing all this science thing. But what he spoke was that Srila Prabhupada told him to speak. And Srila Prabhupada sat and heard his lectures and liked it. If we have respect for Srila Prabhupada, we should also respect this type of preaching that Prabhupada told the devotees to do. So, I'll read a little more from Maharaj. Srimad Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Goswami Prabhupada Maharaj has explained Vaishnava philosophy, but you cannot understand his words. His language is so difficult, you cannot enter into it. Sometimes we're translating some of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta's letters, which are, comparatively speaking, very simple writing as compared to his purports of Chaitanya Charitamrita or other things. But his language is so difficult. Many, many times we find there's just no way to put it into English. And the only thing that we can do is we have to put some Bengali words or something. And then we put some synonym, which kind of approximates it afterwards. And we just, for people who are really serious about it, they're going to have to read this thing. Just as Srila Prabhupada, he writes in one purport in Chaitanya Charitamrita, he says, if someone really wants to understand Chaitanya Charitamrita, they should read Bengali. They should learn Bengali. Prabhupada himself says that. So it's not possible to completely explain everything in this language of English. English is a very, very faulty language. And Maharaj says, Srila Prabhupada, our revered spiritual master, was an especially empowered person. And he explained it in the English language. It is very difficult to explain in English language. Many times the English language has no words to properly convey the meanings. In this purport, Prabhupada tried his best to translate the ideas into English. But sometimes he just used the original Sanskrit words because you cannot find the English equivalent. If you look back in his purport, Prabhupada's describing, he starts off by speaking about Aishvarya Purna and Aishvarya Sitila, and he gives some approximate synonyms for that in English, but you can't really express these things properly in English. Why is Prabhupada giving them in Sanskrit like that? We can understand some clues that he's meaning for us to go deeper, to understand these things. This purport speaks of so many things. Yesterday I read only the first page of the purport. I have not gone through to the next page. Today I'll read the next page and try my best to express it clearly, but I don't know how far I will succeed. I don't know because I have no power, no qualification. I'm not a worthy person. Only by Prabhupada's mercy, the mercy of Guru and Gauranga, if they speak through me, can I try to explain. Otherwise, it is not possible. So, we'd like to read a few things, statements from Srila Prabhupada, where Prabhupada speaks about his own books. First of all, Prabhupada said many, many times the importance of reading his books and how we can associate with Srila Prabhupada through his books. In one lecture in the Bhagavatam in 1968, Srila Prabhupada said, "So, we should associate by vibration and not by the physical presence. That is real association." In a purport to Bhagavatam 3.31.48, Prabhupada says, "It is sometimes misunderstood that if one has to associate with persons engaged in devotional service, he will not be able to solve the economic problem. To answer this argument, it is described here that one has to associate with liberated persons, not directly, physically, but by understanding through philosophy and logic the problems of life." In one conversation in Paris in 1974, Paramahansa Prabhu asked Srila Prabhupada, he said, "My question is, a pure devotee, when he comments in Bhagavad Gita, someone who never sees him physically, but he just comes in contact with the commentary explanation, is this the same thing?" And Prabhupada said, "Yes. You can associate with Krishna by reading Bhagavad Gita. And these saintly persons, they have given their explanations, comments. So where is the difficulty?" And anyway, so many, we'll pass these out afterwards and you can look them over. I'm not going to read every single one of these statements from Srila Prabhupada. The point is, again and again, Srila Prabhupada's made the point that it's not necessary that you have to physically associate with a person. You can read Srila Prabhupada's purports in his books and you can directly associate with Srila Prabhupada. And we all have personal experience of that. If we're reading Srila Prabhupada's purports, sometimes we have a question. We're thinking, gosh, who can answer my question? We're really wondering something. And then we're reading, and that day Prabhupada perfectly answers our question. So Prabhupada emphasized this thing. At the same time, we can make general statements in Krishna consciousness and we can make specific statements. we can say that, for example, that anyone who's coming into the temple, they're doing bhakti. But at the same time, more specifically, you can say that bhakti means someone who's free from anarthas and is a self-realized person. And Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur, even in one place, he describes it as indriya vyapara, all of our activities and devotional service, before we become realized, before we have love for Krishna, there's simply the senses engaged in the sense objects. And he says they're not really bhakti. They're simply indriya vyapara, the senses engaged in the sense objects. He says, but in another sense, they are bhakti. Just like, what is a fire jagya? A fire jagya is when the priest is pouring ghee in the fire and chanting swaha, right? That's a fire jagya. But a fire jagya is also when you're cleaning the pit beforehand and you're carrying the bricks there and you're gathering the firewood and those things. In one sense, that's not the fire jagya. The jagya is when you're pouring the ghee and chanting a mantra. But these other things, because they lead up to it, they're also part of it. So when Srila Prabhupada is making these statements, there's some purport to them, there's some depth to them. Prabhupada says other things concerning hearing. In a purport to Chaitanya Charitamrita, Amrita 5.131, Prabhupada says, if you want to reach Srimad Bhagavatam, you must approach a person who is a living Bhagavat. Otherwise, there's no question of Bhagavat realization. Prabhupada says in one lecture in Rome, there are many religious scriptures, especially the Vedas. Shruti means Veda. Shruti is learned by hearing, not by reading. You can understand Vedic principles even though you're illiterate, provided you give oral reception. God has given you the ear. And if you try to hear submissively to receive something, then it will be fruitful. Prabhupada writes in another place, in Purport to Bhagavatam 116, the Puranas are also parts of the Vedas. And histories like the Mahabharata or Ramayana are also parts of the Vedas. The Acharya or the Goswami must be well acquainted with all these literatures. To hear and explain them is more important than reading them. One can assimilate the knowledge of the revealed scriptures only by hearing and explaining. Hearing is called Shravan and explaining is called Kirtan. The two processes of Shravan and Kirtan are of primary importance to progressive spiritual life. Only one who has properly grasped the transcendental knowledge from the right source by submissive hearing can properly explain the subject. Prabhupada writes in Chaitanya Charitamrita Anchya 753 purport, if one wants to learn the meaning of Srimad Bhagavatam, one must take lessons from a realized soul. One should not proudly think that one can understand the transcendental loving service of the Lord simply by reading books. One must become a servant of a Vaishnava. Similarly, Prabhupada gave some personal instructions like that. And we've given a few examples. I'll just read one. In a morning walk in Melbourne in 1975, Madhudwisha Prabhu, he asked Srila Prabhupada, he said, Prabhupada, one cannot become a medical practitioner by simply reading books. He must study under a medical practitioner. Prabhupada emphasizes many, many times. So in the case of your books, is it possible to become a devotee without actually having personal association with you just by reading the books? This is, in England, in America, we say this is a $64,000 question. And Prabhupada, he replied, he says, no. It is not that you have to associate with the author, but one who knows. If you cannot understand, you have to take lesson from him. Not necessarily that you have to contact with the author always. Madhudwisha went on, he said, but can your purports, can they serve as an explanation besides? And Prabhupada two times says, no, no. Anyone who knows the subject matter, he will be able to explain. It is not necessary that the author be present there. We should hear from someone who has understood Krishna, from him. That is the parampara system. Tadvigyanartam sagurum ivabhakachet. Prabhupada said many, many times, abhigachet, it's imperative, you must hear from someone. In one lecture, Prabhupada said, some people say, what is the necessity of hearing from someone? What is the necessity of taking initiation? I can read Bhagavad Gita on my own. Prabhupada says, he may read Bhagavad Gita 1,000 times, but he won't understand. Prabhupada said they're feeling some discouragement because they've had a bad experience. And so they feel some discouragement. They don't want to approach a person. Prabhupada spoke like that. We see that very much today. So many people have a bad experience. And so they don't want to hear from any particular person. But we have to hear from a person. Krishna is a person. Yeme bhakti jana partha, name bhakti sate janaha. Krishna tells Arjuna in Adi Purana, those persons who say my devotee, they're not really my devotee. Mat bhaktanam cha ye bhaktas, te me bhaktata mam mataha. But that person who's a devotee of my devotee, he's my real devotee. We should approach in that way. So many things are there to say. I'd like to cover this a little bit here, what we have on the board, and then we can take a break for a few minutes. This is from Paramatma Sandarbha. This is from Jiva Goswami. In Anucheda 105.6, he describes, Upakro mapasanharav abhyaso purvata phalam artava dopapati cha lingam tat parjanirnaya. He says that if you want to understand a book, six things are required. The first is upakram, the beginning. Literally, upakram means the beginning. You should understand the author's preamble in the book. The word upakram means the beginning or something which leads to a result. The beginning is not the same as the end. When you go to school, what they're teaching you in first grade is not the same as what they're teaching you in the university. When you read Srimad Bhagavatam, of course, in one sense, Prati Shloki Prati Akshana, the Koi, Jiva Goswami, in the very first verse of Srimad Bhagavatam, he gives a very elaborate explanation, giving a pastime of Radharani, Lalita, and Krishna, and how all these things are there in the very first verse of Srimad Bhagavatam. But for general people, they don't see that thing. And there's a difference, there's a progression from the first canto up to the second, third, fourth, fifth canto, up to the tenth canto. And we should hear, after hearing the tenth canto, if we don't hear the 11th and 12th canto, the Bhagavatams, we may fall down. Gaurivinoda Maharaj used to speak about this many times. Because what Uddhava hears from Krishna in the 11th canto is very, very important also to understand the 10th canto properly. So there's some difference between the beginning of the book and the end of the book. If you want to understand the author, the book someone's given, you have to look at the beginning of the book. What is the upakram? You should also look at the upasamhara. What is the concluding words of the book? How does the author conclude the book? Sometimes some of our acharyas, for example, Sridhar Swami. Some people, it's a big debate about Sridhar Swami. There's not very much known about his life. And some people say that he was in the Shankar Sampradaya. There's some good evidence that he was in the Shankar Sampradaya. And they say that he was even the acharya of the Govardhan Mutt of the Shankar Acharya Parampara in Jagannath Puri. And that he was a Mayavadi. And if you look at his commentary, many times he speaks things which agree with Shankaracharya. Shankaracharya's Mayavad philosophy. But he also says Vaishnav things. We have to see what is his conclusion. His conclusion is a Vaishnav conclusion. And he's writing in such a way to make a bridge from one side of the river to the other side. If you want to cross, there's two embankments. To cross from one to the other, you have to begin on the other embankment. So we're speaking to a certain class of people. We want to bring in another place. So the first thing that we're speaking is not the same as the conclusion. And sometimes even in the beginning, sometimes some of our acharyas, they may say, yes, that's fine. You can go ahead. Prabhupada told the devotees, yes, you can go and you can eat ice cream. You can smoke cigarettes. Prabhupada sometimes said, even you can eat meat, whatever. Just chant Hare Krishna. That's not Prabhupada's conclusion. There's a big difference between that and the conclusion. That's the beginning thing. So we should understand what is the upasamhara. We should understand what is the abhyasa. What is repeated by the author again and again and again. Vedi ramayane chaiva purane bharate tata adav ante cha madhye cha hari sarvati giyate. And all the Vedic literatures, and the Vedas, and the Ramayana, and the Mahabharata, and the Puranas, and from the beginning, the middle, and the end, they only speak about one subject, hari sarvati giyate. Again and again and again, the holy name of Lord Hari is emphasized. So this repetition, we should understand. There's some purpose for this. And that's known as abhyasa. And there's apurvata. Apurvata phalam is what is unique to the book. Srila Prabhupada, we want to understand his books, what is unique to them? Prabhupada's books are very unique. We can read something, if we learn some Sanskrit, some Bengali, we can read the books of Kaviraj Goswami, and we can read the books of Jiva Goswami and Rupa Goswami like that. There's some difference between their books and Srila Prabhupada's books. There's some difference between the books of Jiva Goswami and Rupa Goswami or Sanatana Goswami. There's something unique about each and every book. Srila Prabhupada's unique quality in his books, he's not trying to establish all the Gaudiya Vaishnava Siddhantas. Those Siddhantas are already established by Jiva Goswami. He's not trying to surpass our previous acharyas. He's giving these things in a language, in a way that everyone can understand it. His purpose was to embrace the whole world, to bring everyone to Krishna consciousness. It was for that thing that he was specifically empowered to do. He didn't need to establish the Siddhantas, to establish Gaudiya Vaishnava, the Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya. That thing was already done by Jiva Goswami and Rupa Goswami. He wasn't trying to jump over our previous acharyas and surpass them. And he said many, many times, as we mentioned before, that to understand more of these things, you should read Jiva Goswami, you should read Rupa Goswami, you should read Sanatana Goswami. They have their purpose, and their purpose still remains. It's not that their purpose has changed by Srila Prabhupada, but Prabhupada's books had a very special purpose. They had a very special fruit. His books, he's very especially empowered to preach, especially to the Western countries. Nirvisesha Shunyavadi Paschita Desha. This Paschita Desha Tarne, this Western countries. Prabhupada wrote his own pranam mantra, and he said this about his own preaching. And now we see this Paschita Desha means the whole world. Sometimes I'm in Orissa, people, they ask me, the Indian people, they say, oh, don't you miss going to America? I say, no. If I want to go to America, I'll just go to Delhi, or I'll go to Mumbai, or Bangalore. And the ladies, they all dress the same way they do in America, and the cinema things are the same. Everything's practically the same. They speak English. It's a little cleaner in America, but everything's practically the same.
You make very important point about Prabhupada's books. And this is the qualification of the according to time and places.
If we say that Srila Prabhupada is Shaktivesh, what kind of Shakti? Shaktivesh means that he has a specific purpose. And we should understand what is that purpose. And we shouldn't foolishly think that his purpose is now we shouldn't read Jiva Goswami, we shouldn't read Rupa Goswami, we shouldn't read Sanatana Goswami, we'll only read Srila Prabhupada. Prabhupada, if we only read Srila Prabhupada, Prabhupada says you should read Sanatana Goswami and Jiva Goswami. He says only false devotees say we shouldn't read the books of Jiva Goswami and the previous acharyas. Prabhupada's instructing that we should do that. But we should read Srila Prabhupada's books first, because Srila Prabhupada is giving us an introduction. And he's giving everything in a very deep way. So Prabhupada's books, we should understand what is the apurvata phalam, what is very unique about Srila Prabhupada's books. We should understand what is the arthavad, the artist's own declaration of intent. Prabhupada, he said many times, the purpose of my books is to teach people what they've forgotten, to bring this Krishna conscious movement to the West. That's the arthavad. And the upapatti, the application of logic to understand the author's intent. For example, sometimes something in Srimad Bhagavatam, if you take it literally, what it says, and you take it out of context, you may become very bewildered. There's one verse in the Bhagavatam that says that if you want to give up sense gratification, the only way to do it is to experience sense gratification. The more you have to enjoy lots of sense gratification, and after enjoying lots and lots of sense gratification, you become burned out by it, and then you can give it up. The Bhagavatam says like that. But who is speaking that? It's Daksha. Daksha is saying that. And it's a bogus philosophy. And it's immediately after that Narad Muni refutes that. We don't accept that thing. A very simple, basic philosophy is Cheto Darpanam Arjunam. We cleanse the heart of these nasty things. Not that we drown ourselves in them, and then by drowning ourselves that we get some relief from them. We cleanse the heart of these things. We don't want these things. We should give these things up. So this upapatti, this logic, is also required. We have to see some points are sometimes said. Even Srila Prabhupada may say something, just as we're reading, Prabhupada emphasized sometimes that All that you have to do is read my books, and that's all that's necessary. So what does he mean by that? Does it mean that we shouldn't hear from a person? If that's all that's necessary, then to spread Krishna consciousness, all we have to do is collect millions of dollars and just mail everybody in the world, send them by post one of Prabhupada's books. And they'll all become devotees, and we can just sit back here in Vrindavan and take prasadam and do kirtan, and no problem. But how many people here in this room became a devotee without ever meeting a devotee? Our first experience, our first contact may have been through Srila Prabhupada's books, but I think 99% of the devotees I speak to became inspired to join because of the devotees. We went to the temple. I wanted to see, I know before I joined the temple, I wanted to see someone who was actually practicing this. I wanted to see a follower of Srila Prabhupada. It wasn't enough just for me to someone tell me about some history, some Swami who came in 1966 to America and only had 40 rupees in his pocket. And, well, that's a really nice story, that's entertaining, but didn't he make any pure devotees? Didn't he have any followers or anybody? And if he didn't have any, it doesn't really seem very interesting to me. It's practical. We want to meet a person. Krishna consciousness is a personal philosophy. Huh? And we have to personally exhibit Srila Prabhupada's books. So I'd like to mention again, this is a confidential thing. Prabhupada gave a general thing in some of these conversations, probably saying that it's not necessary to associate with persons. You can get everything by reading. And for general people, this is an okay thing for them to hear. That because sometimes people are a little bit envious. I don't want to hear from a person, who the heck are you? But I have faith in Prabhupada. Okay, you have faith in Prabhupada, that's fine. That's all that you need. Then you read Prabhupada's books. And if they keep reading Prabhupada's books, Prabhupada says in Krishna book, the purpose of the Krishna conscious movement is to provide association for devotees. After they keep reading these kind of things over and over again, then they'll realize, oh, Prabhupada wants me to associate with someone. Prabhupada is saying the only way to understand his books is to associate with a person. But for some persons who don't have that qualification, that's fine, there's no problem. Don't disturb them. They can understand everything by reading Prabhupada's books. But that's a very basic thing. If we want to go very deep, if we want to get this Ratnakar, if we want to dive deep into the ocean and get the gems that are hidden down there, we have to go with someone who knows the way. If we just jump in the water and we don't know anything about diving, we don't know how to use an air tank, we don't know which way to go, we may drown in the water. We need the guidance of someone to show us where these gems are at. So this is something in Srila Prabhupada's book. So we'll stop now for about 15 minutes and we can chant Gayatri and use the baths and come back. Would you want to make some comments? Please. Please. Shuddha Sapabhu, he's making a statement in the form of a question. He's making a very good point. Yes.
Because, for example, you emphasize such a wonderful thing about Prabhupada's book, but your Guru Maharaj, in some sense, he wrote such a wonderful book. I take him, my six Guru also, make understand not only Prabhupada's book, but the books of all the acharya. So, you see how it's wonderful, Prabhupada's, you know, Shiksha, Prabhupada's presence in many purposes. What do you think about that question?
There's a story I heard once that once there was one guru who used to speak Harikatha, and after his lectures he would give prasadam to all the devotees. And so there was one particular disciple who was very learned, more learned than the other disciples, and he was very senior. And he had a little bit of an abhiman. He was a little proud about that. So after one lecture, this guru was distributing prasadam to everyone. And he was giving these... No, this is just some allegorical story. He was giving this, what do you call those big sweets? It's like a big giant rasgulla.
Rajbhog.
Yeah, they had this big rajbhog. And he was giving one of those to each one of the devotees, very like a fistful sweet. And everybody's standing in queue, he's giving one to each devotee. And then this one devotee came forward, he was very, very learned. And to that devotee, he gave him a very small piece of burfi. And that devotee, he became a little hurt and offended. He said, Guru Maharaj, why are you doing like that? I'm more senior than everyone else. I know more than everybody else in so many ways. You should give me the same thing also. And his Guru Maharaj said, okay, you're asking. So he took and gave him this other rajbhog. That night, the devotee couldn't sleep all night. He was having dysentery all night. He was just passing and passing. And the next morning, he came to his Guru Maharaj and said, oh, Guru Maharaj, now I understand why you didn't give me that thing, why you didn't want to give it. And his Guru said, yes, I knew you couldn't digest this. So I gave you this other thing. So the sadhu, he's known as sadhu vaidya. He's a very expert doctor. And the doctor doesn't give the same medicine to everyone. He sees that this person, I'll give him, this is good medicine for him. But if I give the same medicine to someone else, they may die. It may be too much for them. And so over and over again, if you read in Matsarmit's Vrindavan, especially in the questions and answers section in the back of the book, Gaura Govindamar speaks about this very emphatically, that this subject matter is not meant for new devotees. It's not meant for new people. Actually, I can mention this too about Gaura Govinda Maharaj's preaching. Sometimes he spoke some very high subject matters. I don't want to speak about some of the subject matters in this book, especially in the beginning. Maybe we could do that, but at least we should start from the beginning of this book and progress before we start speaking about Madanaki Mahabhav and this thing and that thing. It's a very high subject matters. And we have no adhikar to speak about them. I don't know who has adhikar to hear about them. We still may repeat them because the book is there to some purpose. But there should be some krama, there should be some progression. Maharaj, Prabhupada told him that he should preach to the devotees. I was present once, we'll stop this little anecdote. In Los Angeles, one devotee, he came to myself actually, and he wanted Gaura Govinda Maharaj to come on television. And he said maybe 3 million people are going to hear this broadcast. They'll see and watch and hear this broadcast and you can come. So many Indian people. And he asked me to go to Gaura Govinda Maharaj and ask him this. So I went and asked him this question. And he told me no. He said, I'll not speak on the television like that. He said, I want to preach to the preachers. Prabhupada told me to do that. And I saw many times, another occasion, one man came to one darshan. He was a parent of one of the devotees. And he became very interested in the philosophy. And he started asking questions to Maharaj. And he wouldn't answer him. And he pointed to one of the other devotees in the room. He said, you ask him these questions. You're asking these questions, asking things about reincarnation and vegetarianism and things like that. He wanted to speak on these other topics because he wanted to show that everything is in Prabhupada's society. But many, many times he also said that none of you are qualified to hear about this. And the reason why I'm speaking this is to give you some greed. So we should understand that. Bhaktivinoda Thakur in Chaitanya Sikshamrita, he says that one of the anarthas in spiritual life is tattva brahma, to not understand tattva. And understand tattva means also we have to understand what is a sadhya, what is the goal of Radha and Krishna. It doesn't mean that we should spend all of our time meditating about Asakala Leela in an artificial way, reading Govinda Leelamrita, Krishna Bhavanamrita, and books like that. But we should understand something about what is the goal of our life. Otherwise, we can't properly progress. If you actually look at the teachings Gaura Govinda Maharaj gave, he didn't speak so much Radha Krishna Leela. When he spoke about Radha Krishna, he would speak more philosophy, more Siddhanta. And when he did speak about Radha Krishna Lila, it was more he would speak about separation than he did union. Practically, he never spoke about union. He spoke very much about Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And when he spoke about Krishna Lila, he would speak more often about Krishna's Bala Lila as Nanda Gopal, as the son of Nanda Maharaj, in his muck and choice, stealing the butter, and like that. He would speak those kinds of pastimes because that's a little easier thing for us to understand, this Madhurja Ras. And he would give us Madhurja Ras, but in a very careful way. So these are important subjects. I think you'd be sure to suffer for them. So we'll stop for till, why don't we come back at 10 after 12? We can all chant our Gayatris and use the bathroom and stretch our legs and things. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, samaveda bhakta binda ki jai, gop premanandi hari hari.